Hi, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Live, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Joined today by artist Keaton Fox, who has a video installation, an amazing piece of artwork that we want to talk about, opening Saturday at the gallery at Floridorama. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Bill.
Keaton, where are you from? You're not a local artist. We'll set that up right away. Are you Floridian?
I am.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Miami.
There you go.
So opposite coast, but still very much Florida upbringing.
What I found so interesting about what I've read about, it's called Quiet at Heart, I was able to see some of the videos. Folks, this is a video installation. In other words, you've kind of created an environment for us to get absorbed in. It's you walk into it, I guess. And that's not all video installations are like that. But what I found so fascinating about it was it's very much like almost like a calming thing. Like this is natural Florida. Can you talk about it and tell us the universal us. He's waving his arms around. What it consists of and what your point was, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm glad you brought up the calming aspect of it, because that is something that is very intentional in this work, but is very different from other work that I've made before. Usually I'm looking at opposites and tension and kind of the ugly, interesting parts of that. And with this project, it's interesting to me because it's really focused on the calm, beautiful, magical parts of Florida. And to me, Florida's a place that's so paradoxical. And at the beginning of the project, that's really what I wanted to focus on. But as the project has continued, and I've been working on it for the past 6 months, it became more clear to me that I wanted to do something that does focus on the calm, because so much of Florida that we see in the news, especially if you're not Floridian, is very not calm.
Well, it's not, as a viewer, it's a nice respite to have from all this sort of, you know, hashtag slash and burn politics that are going on. I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
To step into this thing. So what you're saying is that originally it was going to be more of like there were going to be opposites and so what made you tone it down? I've seen, you know, it's rolling water and it's sunsets. Mm-hmm. And again, I haven't seen the final thing, but does it completely surround you, or is it just three sides, or is it just one side? I haven't seen it. I can't describe it. Tell us more.
It's more mythical that way.
Okay.
So it's you walk into a room that is three walls that are filled with projections of video that I've taken over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a background in video art. And around 10 years ago, someone somewhere told me that recording video, you should always film for 45 seconds at least, because then more interesting things tend to unfold, as opposed to filming a sunset for 10 seconds,
let's say.
So that is an ongoing project I've had, but didn't think that was going to come into the project either. I thought I was going to be sourcing a lot of footage from local artists and photographers and news outlets. And essentially in the beginning, I was going to be focusing on having political footage against the natural footage too.
Well, that's kind of an obvious thing.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So at one point you deep six the political stuff.
Yeah.
And our glorious governor does not appear in this. So folks, it's safe to come out and see it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this project is so fascinating to me because it's made possible by a grant from Floridorama and Creative Pinellas.
Creative Pinellas, of course. Yeah.
Yes. So it's the first of its kind, really. So it is a bit of a test run. And the grantees found out that they had gotten the award on the day that the election results came through. So I had pitched this project of magical, mystical Florida and showing those parts of it. And that day that I got the acceptance, I was very torn and didn't know, you know, has with not just the presidential fact, but, you know, the abortion law and all these different things. And so for the first 3 months, that's what it was focused on, was creating this layered effect and the feeling of Florida, which to me is always, you know, very paradoxical and
of course
beautiful and horrifying at the same time.
So what made you do the edits and yank those out?
I think the first part of me was that I wanted to try something new and I wanted to see if I could do it. If I could do a project that was just really beautiful and if that would be as meaningful as something that's more obviously layered and paradoxical and all these things. And so that was a real challenge for me. And even still now, I have very mixed feelings about it. But what I find interesting about this project, which is coming out a week after Alligator Alcatraz has been in the news, it's dark. But that's kind of the point of this project. Is okay. I've lived, since growing up in Miami, I've lived in Detroit, Boston, Providence, and Chicago. So all very liberal places. And I find myself constantly having to defend Florida. And that obviously is very complex for different reasons. But I wanted to create a space that really shows how mythical and magical this place really is, because the project is based off of an essay by Joy Williams called Pride at Heart.
I was going to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. I read that, yeah.
Yeah, so this ties in because I had read that essay when I was living in Chicago. And Joy Williams is an incredible writer. She lived in Florida for a long time and has written really incredible pieces of writing about the complexity of Florida and the tension that it always has with itself. And so this essay, Quiet at Heart, was so interesting to me, one, because I couldn't find it anywhere online. It was in a book that a professor of mine had showed to me. And so I really wanted people to experience that essay through a work of art in a certain way. And for me, the main thesis and the main takeaway of the essay is that she's arguing how the most mythical, magical parts of Florida are not the theme parks and the attractions and the things that are built out to be fantastical. Like, for example, Walt Disney World, Ripley's, believe it or not, has the most museums here, and the Ringling Circus, all very fantastical focused things. But her argument is that the most magical, fantastical thing is Florida itself and the ecosystems and the flora and fauna. And
it never ceases to amaze me that even in the profession that I've been in, I've been a journalist a very long time, that people, you know, will diss Florida to the moon and leave, but they always come back. They all, you know, look, you're here again.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's part of the magic of it, you know, and especially these days, there's, you know, frankly, quite a few reasons to not be here.
Absolutely.
But it is magical. And maybe that's what draws people back. I don't know.
Exactly.
I never left. I lived in Savannah for 6 years, but I came right back to Florida.
Yeah. You know? It has that effect, and I think that's what I'm trying to have in this piece. You know, you're surrounded by three videos, which is also three speakers where the audio is layered and the ground is sand.
The ground is sand. Okay. Yeah. So would you encourage people to sort of take their shoes off and stand there and get absorbed?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to create a space where this Florida that gets so buried underneath everything else about Florida, that is the most like raw, natural part of Florida, to create a space that can, be a respite from everything else that's going on in Florida right now.
Do you ever create just to make something, or is there always a mission behind it, or like an alternative, you know, reason for you doing it? It's like, I just want to make something cool today, you know?
God, you know, I wish that were more of the case, but I am in my head a lot, and I do feel obligation to have it mean something more, even when it's things that are fun. So I'm trying to work on that myself
as an artist
and someone who likes making art, but it's also my profession. You know, that's very, That's a tricky balance.
Well, you got to take it very seriously in a way. And but also another thing I like about your work is the sense of humor in it. You know, I mean, I was looking at some of your videos online, and I keep thinking back to the spider mums in the garbage disposal. What is it called, like, you know, the real truth about romantic relationships? Yeah, or something.
Romantic love visualized.
And it just, folks, you should go look this one up online. Perhaps I'll find a link and put it in here. And it's very short, but it's just like, oh, lovely flowers, and they're just gone with this detritus, you know, laying around, the little flower petals and stuff. So there's a bit of humor in that. I also wanted to ask you about digital projections, as far as I saw an interview with you. You were at some festival somewhere doing projections on buildings. Why does this sort of thing fascinate you so much, as opposed to just sort of dabbing some paint and being expressive, which I expect you do too? But how did you kind of get drawn into this amazing kind of work?
Well, I really want to get into painting now and haven't gone down that route. But of course, it's the complete opposite of what I have been doing. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I started getting interested in art and media making. I went to Syracuse University in my undergrad. The focus was art video, which was a very small, bizarre program that was incredible. It was like five people in my class, two graduates in the year before me. And unfortunately, it's no longer a program, but really fascinating stuff was coming out of there at the time. And I became obsessed with, so this was in 2010, 2011. I became obsessed with screens, phones, and what they were kind of doing to us as a culture. And this was before, I remember my senior year, which is when my thesis project was due, was the year that iPhone introduced the selfie mode, where you could press the button and turn the camera on yourself. And essentially, I grew up with a camera. My father recorded my birth on a Hi8 videotape. So I've had, since I've been born, I've been in the room with video. And
that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, it's been bizarre. And essentially, for that project, I took all my father's home videos and watched them. And to make a long story short, my childhood, the memories that I held very close, a lot of them were proven false in a certain way. And it was very, totally mind-boggling. And I had an identity crisis. And it was just so bizarre to me how much these videos just changed my perception of myself and my life. And from that point forward, for the next 10-ish years, I was focused on, okay, I need to let people know that this is, if you're constantly photographing yourself and videoing everything, it's going to have a distorting effect on the way that you look at your life.
You did this, I remember you talking about this projection of your childhood videos through a goldfish bowl. Can you talk about that? I thought that was very cool. And it was just a matter of distortion, as you say, because the fish was swimming. Can you talk about that? And is that what you're talking about?
Yes, it is. You've done your research.
I did a little bit. Yeah.
So yeah, that was my undergrad thesis. And this was when I had started to go through all the videos, and you know, the thesis project was due, but I was having this, you know, crisis of memories and didn't know in my life what to do, but also didn't know what to do for this project. And so I put all the videos together where it was someone either referencing video or looking directly into the camera and commenting. Like, there was a lot of footage of my mom saying, "You always film me when I'm looking so horrible, and these are the memories that I'm going to have."
Right. I can remember some of those from my own family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So that was, I compiled that into an hour of footage and then played it through a fishbowl, because there's this story saying, what have you. I don't have the specific wording in front of me, but essentially it's about this young man who catches a fish and takes a picture of the fish with his father, and then goes fishing again and again and again, and keeps telling the story of how he caught this huge, amazing fish. And each story with each telling, the fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you look back at the photo if you haven't seen it in 10 years, and that fish is tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny. So these things and these moments where we are very proud of ourselves and share these stories as a way of connection, so many of them are false. And I think technology aids in that.
Oh, certainly. Mm-hmm. Are you in town for a while now?
I mean, I live here.
You live here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She lives here, folks. Have you seen the Nina Yankowitz?
Not yet, but it just went up.
Yeah, a week or two ago. She has this amazing piece in there, and this made me think of you. And I don't remember what it's called, but it was site-specific. She built it there. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially like a lifeboat. It's crashed through a wall.
Oh, okay.
And it's all done, painted and glued on. It didn't really crash through the wall, but it looks mm-hmm. like it did. Mm-hmm. And it's full of all the significant stuff about people's lives. And you know, she talked about it. I don't really remember what it all meant. Here's what I remember, though. It's crashed on the sand. And there's video. There's no people in it. There's a video projection where the waves just come in over the sand and move back. And it's just a teeny part of the whole thing. Mm. And I thought that was brilliant. That was the thing that attracted me to it, that made it just feel kind of 3D, kind mm-hmm. of come alive mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of made me think about the possibilities of video installations. Mm. And mm-hmm. and not only that, but the things that you do, which kind of change the whole meaning of things. Where are you going from here? How do you, after this piece of Floridorama, I mean, what's mm-hmm. next for you?
Oh, man. So this has been a really interesting learning project for me. I think, you know, as I said, I was trying to go out and create something really beautiful and meaningful. And it's been interesting to see how that's ebbed and flowed over time. Uh-huh. And I don't know. It's interesting because I'm in an interesting point in my art career where I just put out at the end of last year a thick coffee table book that was basically organizing all writing photographs of the last 10 years of work that I've done in relation to video distorting mm-hmm. our memories and our perceptions of reality.
Right.
And so that was really bookended at the beginning of the year. And then I got this grant and I went all in on really celebrating Florida and these parts of her that don't get recognized enough, seen enough. And
well, don't get celebrated.
Yeah. And the fight for them, you know, like especially with what's going on now in the Everglades and the same part that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas was fighting for. Yeah. It's just... Yeah. It's insane. So it's pretty, I mean, in all the press, I've been trying to communicate that, you know, it's a place, it's a respite, but it's also a place where you really understand how incredible this place is. And I hope people leave wanting to fight for it more, because it is a fight to keep Florida in its natural state. It always has been.
I think Marjorie would appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks.
Know, we all do our, I mean, I have a lot of favorite writers who write about this, mm-hmm. you know, and there's lots of ways to say it eloquently. And mm-hmm. it's also bloody obvious, you know, but this is another way of saying it. Let's recap everything now. It is called Quiet at Heart. It's a video installation opening Saturday, and the opening reception is Saturday. It's during the art walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your reception, I think, is did I write it down here? 6 to 8.
6 to 8
on Saturday.
Correct.
You'll be there.
I will.
Okay, and you're also going to do an artist talk in August.
Yes, August 2nd.
August 2nd. Do you know how long you probably do? How long it's going to be up there at the gallery at Floridorama?
Till the end of August.
Till the end of August.
Last day of August.
Before we go, something I thought about, too, was how long is the experience? I mean, the videos are looping, I mm-hmm, assume. Mm-hmm. I mean, can I stand there for 10 minutes or is it like you're in, you're out?
You can stand there for an hour and see different visuals for an hour playing on the three different screens.
I intend to do this.
Good. We have chairs also, so it's really – accessible and you can sit and be there for a long time. I wanted to make sure there's seating for that.
That's very cool. What's the audio? What are you playing?
The audio. So that was something that, you know, amongst all the pretty beautiful things, I think the audio is doing the most important work here, which is layering all these sounds of nature, some of which are quiet, beautiful, but also thunderstorms that we have, and the intensity that is not quiet at heart, but is so deeply natural. And to have a thunderstorm layered on top of a summer rain shower for 10 minutes, layered on top of an alligator doing its mating call, it creates this collapsed kind of experience of all these things that you would get from exploring different places in Florida. But that, you know, if you're a tourist, you don't get that experience. You go to either one place or another, and to have it all collapsed in one space, I think will give a greater appreciation.
How cool that it's at Floridorama, where they're you know, they interpret Florida in different ways.
Yeah,
I think Liz has done some amazing stuff.
Incredible.
And it just gets cooler when you go there. I was in there. She gave me a tour not long ago. I hadn't been in a while. Mm. And it's like, wait, I never saw that before. And this is interesting. It all makes sense to her.
Yeah.
So she explained it. Anyway. Well, Kate and Fox, what a pleasure. Let's remind folks again, it is 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday. Is the installation open Saturday or not till 6? Is that when you sort of unveil it?
Unveiling, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Little tweaking still going on, a little here and there?
A little bit here and there, but that's what keeps art exciting.
And that's the gallery at Floridorama, and you all know where that is. It's over in the Factory, St. Pete. And special thanks, of course, to Creative Pinellas for footing the bill, as they say. Keaton Fox, anything that we forgot?
Oh, man.
I guess not.
Go out and support organizations that are helping save our nature and wildlife in Florida.
It's a beautiful thing. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.